Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Natoku World builds a communication platform that enables businesses to interact with their potential customers via audio, text and video messaging APIs across all available channels, regardless of the technologies or systems that they use.
And they recently took part in a 10-way fight for the championship title at the Echelon Asia Summit 2019. What did they learn from the experience? Well, let's find out from the founder of Toku World, Thomas Laboule. Tell us, what was the genesis of Toku World and how it works?
Hello, thanks for having me. Well, Toku is actually an unusual start for a startup because I was first hired to restructure another company. Mm-hmm. And from that company, we did a management buyout followed by a seed funding. And then we started actually the company in April of last year, mm-hmm. but with already quite some assets.
What sort of company was it before?
It was also a telco company, but more oriented towards B2C.
Okay. So right now you are more oriented towards?
Enterprise solutions.
Okay. So the pain points, though, you think that you are offering to alleviate for businesses with Toku World?
Well, actually, there is the vision for us. We want to enable smart customer engagement to for companies. But of course, the way to get there is multiple. So today we are already solving the communication channels one by one. So you have voice, you have messaging. Mm. You need to imagine that as an individual customer, you already have so much choice today. You can use WhatsApp, you can use SMS, you can call. There are so many applications. So it's of course, great for you as an individual. But for an enterprise, it's complicated then to select the right communication channel to interact with their potential customers and their customers in general. Mm-hmm. So what we intend to do is to centralize the communication channels and to integrate them as well with the available corporate tools so that you can leverage on the information that is already available in your company, in your CRM, ERP, etc.
So tell us, how does it all work? I mean, and how will utilizing Toku World help in that regard?
Well, what is actually very different today is the way you are provisioning the services. And overall, voice is still voice and messaging is still messaging. That didn't change. But today for enterprises, it's much easier to get access to certain advanced capabilities, including call forwarding, number masking, number lookups for cleaning up your database, etc. And most of these provisioning has been improved by APIs. So application programming interfaces have always existed. Since you have computers, you have a need to make sure that they can communicate with each other. But since a few years, you have standardized APIs that are just facilitating that. And everything is wide open today. All the enterprises are making sure that their services are as compatible as possible. So it means that you can actually access services without having to acquire expensive infrastructure like before. So you avoid the capex and you can concentrate on OpEx.
How are you doing this, though? You talked about how you're sort of linking up their CRMs and their ERPs and such. You are the bicycle spokes, if you will. If you could give us a way to visualize it.
The uniqueness of Toku is that we are actually hybrid in the sense that we are both an operator in the traditional sense of the naming. So we have our license with IMDA. We have our own range of numbers here in Singapore and the infrastructure and expertise that go with it. And at the same time, we also have the digital expertise with solution architects and coders that are able to integrate different systems together.
Okay, so more of a lattice type structure?
It's true that we have kind of a matrix approach where we can indeed provide the same services in different ways depending on the expertise and the positioning of the customer.
What are your operating and business models, though? Subscription-based?
Well, we have indeed subscriptions and also a part that is pay-per-use. It really depends how the customer is positioned. So if they have their own developers and they can actually use our APIs, it will mainly be pay-per-use. If the company is not there yet or they have traditionally an offline business and so they need a standalone solution with a graphical interface, then it will be a subscription-based with a component of pay-per-use based on the amount of minutes that they are calling or the amount of messages messages that they are sending, no matter if it's WhatsApp, SMS, or other OTT channels.
Right. What were the challenges you faced setting up initially? How did you tackle them? Well, I imagine different from, say, starting from scratch versus you had to go into some place and gut it to your specifications.
So we were very ambitious from the start. And so we directly went to the very known operators. And the difficulty at the beginning was our limited brand awareness and therefore credibility. So we really had to force our way in and show by our expertise and definitely by the team that we had that we were able to work with them and to collaborate with them. And so the business growth initially was probably a little bit slowed down by that, but we tackled it quite rapidly.
How? Just knock on doors?
Mainly because of the team. Yeah. So that we actually had not only already in the team some people that had 15 and over years expertise, but also additional talent acquisition. So over the course of a year, we went from 7 people to today 16.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So what are your views on Singapore? Startup and the SME ecosystem?
Well, of course, overall, Singapore is uniquely positioned. It's a great place to do business. It's extremely dynamic. But then when you're asking about startups and SME ecosystem, mm-hmm. there are actually two speeds here because you have the new digital and shared economy. And at the same time, you still have the traditional economy, which is mainly offline business. And they are not facing the same challenges. So we are actually helping both target groups. One, which is mainly aimed with our APIs because they have the digital ability. And then for the more traditional businesses, they are usually facing that so-called digital transformation where they need assistance for already replacing their legacy systems just to get into the cloud first. And then we can start talking about the APIs and further integration.
Is it head-scratching for you, Thomas, to see that some SMEs seem to be resisting digitalization?
Coming from a consulting background, I'm not so surprised, and I think it's in the human nature of resisting change, and it's up to us to convince them factually.
At this stage, though, this is a do-or-die situation if they don't.
Well, surprisingly, some businesses are not as impacted by that, and they are still in a very traditional space. But as you've seen in different industries, it can change very rapidly. Once it starts to be disrupted, you have only a few years to adapt.
Well, I understand that recently you guys were at the Echelon Asia Summit 2019. What was your experience?
Well, it was very interesting to see so many startups, especially a lot of Singaporean startups. It was great to have that experience to directly connect with them. It was more in terms of lessons learned, because obviously, considering the stage of every company, it's not really there that we will find our customers directly. But it was very very interesting to pitch in front of investors and co-founders.
What was your biggest takeaway?
For the pitching session, it was very difficult to pitch actually in 3 minutes.
had to be succinct.
Definitely. So it was mainly on that front that we learned a lot, how to improve our positioning and explain it in a few sentences, despite the fact that we are in a technical space and therefore it's not that easy to explain.
Any current challenges that you're facing right now and how are they being tackled? I mean, are you looking at the economic slowdown that's coming forth soon?
Well, actually, I'm very optimistic about the economy in general, especially considering our size. We are growing very fast. So for the moment, it's two things that are on my mind. It's the ongoing fundraising as we are doing a Series A. And at the same time, controlling the growth, because as I said, we have been increasing quite fast with over 120% quarterly growth.
But still bootstrapped at this point?
We are still bootstrapped. I think that is just in general my approach of things. I don't want to spend excessive amounts of money. I think that there are always ways to get where you need without spending extensively. And here we are mainly anticipating the international expansion that we have forecasted for after the fundraising.
Yeah, where to?
Well, there is a lot of choice. The region is booming, but for us, we are aiming at Indonesia first, and then, of course, the Philippines, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Thailand.
Why particularly these places?
Because, for example, Indonesia, it's a very young population, extremely tech-savvy, mobile-first, with a booming economy and on different fronts. So a lot of the different businesses that are emerging in Indonesia need our APIs. They need communication APIs, and so we are very well positioned to get that.
Onward and upward. Thomas Laboul is the founder of Toku World. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.